Welcome to episode 7 of Lessons from a Horse with Bethany Teske. In this episode, I'll be interviewing riding coach Stella James. Stella is passionate about horses with over 40 years' experience and is a qualified instructor and stable manager with the British Horse Society. She has also owned and run her own riding school and livery yard. She takes an active interest in researching and learning about different holistic approaches in the horse industry in order to increase her knowledge and understanding of the best ways to keep her horses healthy and to improve her interactions with them. She has a keen interest in both classical dressage and natural horsemanship and loves how their principles and philosophies share similarities and often dovetail together. As a fully qualified equine Bowen therapist and a Bowen technique therapist with over 15 years experience, she is able to treat both horse and rider. Her own experience and qualification in HUNA, NLP, and hypnosis for nearly 20 years means she is able to deal with any psychological issues which may arise in relation to riding or performance goals, such as fear, lack of confidence and anxiety, or equestrian bullying. In recent years, it was only once she began her own yoga practice that she realized that the principles of yoga were very compatible with riding, and it could help riders improve their core strength and stamina, flexibility, balance, and breathing, as well as coordination. Keen to learn more, she studied for a number of years while at the same time improving her own practice and subsequently qualifying as a yoga teacher. Following on from there, she undertook further study and qualified as a yoga sports coach. Welcome and thank you for joining me here today.
That's okay.
So why don't we start, if you want to just tell us a little bit about your background, how you got involved with horses, how, you know, you got to where you are now. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I live in the UK. I'm in Somerset, which is down the southwest, although I'm originally from the Midlands. And I started riding when I was about 8 or 9, and it started off not terribly well because my aunt was involved with horses and her friend had pointers. And so every so often, excuse me, I would go with my aunt to her friend's farm and they would put me on these pointers, which were 16 hands plus thoroughbred horses. I knew absolutely nothing. And I was really tiny, and so they'd go, okay then, we're off. So I'd be in this massive field and they would always run off with me. So I had no brake, no steering.
Oh my goodness.
And invariably I'd end up in tears, and this kept happening. And in the end my mum said, you know, even though I was in tears, I still enjoyed it and I still wanted to do it again.
Yeah.
And in the end, my mum said, no, you know, this can't keep happening. Let's send you for proper riding lessons. So I suppose I was about 10 when I started doing that. And my dream basically had always been as a child to have that bond with a horse and just have that special relationship. But because we weren't horsey, the opportunities of doing that was reduced to riding. So generally speaking, you know, unless you'd got your own land or you lived on a farm or something like that, then the average person didn't keep horses. So you just had to go to local riding school. So that's what we did. And then I realized that I loved teaching. And I started working at another riding school closer to home and basically taught everything that I was being taught and the way I was being taught. And so I really wanted to become a riding instructor. My dream was to have my own riding school. Mm-hmm. And so I went off and I trained, and things didn't quite go according to plan. And so I got married, and I eventually got a horse of my own. But again, life got in the way. And so I had to go. but I learned lots of things. And then I got my own horse, and this would be sort of, I'd be probably mid-20s. Okay. And she taught me an awful lot. But because I had her and I wanted to have a yard of my own, I then rented a little yard and set up a little riding school. Now, it was small because we only had 10 stables. Mm-hmm. And a little bit of land, fair amount of riding out around the area. And so I decided I would set up a riding school for adults rather than children. That taught me an awful lot. Some things not so good, some things good. But it then the recession hit. And so it wasn't feasible to keep it going financially anymore. Mm-hmm. So I went freelance, and then sort of I had another job. So I prior to me having a riding school, I actually worked for the fire brigade in their control room, taking all the 999 calls and all of that. Wow. So that provided me with the funding to be able to do it all. And so when that all sort of came to an end, I got myself another job within the emergency services, but this time with the police, but doing the same type of job. And then I had a period of time where I didn't have any horses at all, but my marriage had broken up. And through that, I'd started to get involved in personal development. So I focused on all of that, and because of my own personal experience, I wanted to help other people. Uh-huh. And so I then went to Australia to do my NLP training for therapy and everything.
Yeah,
and that led me to going to Huna, which is learning the ancient traditions of Hawaii. And going to Hawaii, where I met my now current husband. But that even more developed my personal development of myself and my awareness.
Do you want to talk a little bit about what the NLP stuff is for anyone who might not be familiar with that?
Yeah. NLP stands for neuro-linguistic programming. Neuro relates to the senses. Linguistic is about speech and communication. And programming is more about strategies that we have. And we have strategies all through our lives. And sometimes we get stuck because our strategies are past their sell-by date. So they worked when we were much younger, but they don't work for us now. And so it's a means of NLP is about the art of communication, which when I got back into horses, which was only going to be a Saturday job to just tie me over, you know, get a pin money. Needless to say, I'm freelance there, but I was more or less full time until the pandemic hit. But having felt that I had quite a lot of skills as a riding instructor anyway, NLP just blew it wide open, because all of a sudden I had much more had a bigger toolbox with all bag with all my tools in. So on top of the NLP, I also learned hypnosis, and so I use NLP and hypnosis as part of my lessons now. And my the journey into the horses, because I've now gone back to having my own horses, has led me into the natural horsemanship field. Mm-hmm. And it's gradually grown and evolved. And I'm now very interested in classical riding because I see riding now as an art form. When I had my riding school before, you know, it was about doing my dressage and competing and sort of being rubber stamped by somebody else. Whereas now I don't feel I need that. I want to, and the classical thinking is in alignment with the natural horsemanship and vice versa. And it's really about connecting with your horse, understanding the animal that you're dealing with, and looking to yourself and going, well, why is my horse doing this? And invariably, it's in response to what we've got going on inside us. So they're very much our mirror. Sounds a very, you know, very much cliche, but it is
it's
mirror
true.
Our stuff. And it's for us to be aware and have that desire to look at ourselves and go, okay, who do I need to become to be the best for my horse? And my horses managed to teach me in sometimes a not very subtle way of what I need to look at within myself to become a better leader for them and a better partner. Because I want a harmonious relationship. I want a relationship where they're pleased to see me. We get it wrong sometimes, you know.
We all do.
You know, but we both learn from that. Mm-hmm. And so that has developed now into wanting to do that more in what I offer riders. So even though I teach in a traditional riding school, my lessons are anything except, traditional, because I'm also trained as a yoga teacher and a yoga sports coach. So I bring the elements of that into my lessons because it's about alignment, it's about balance, it's about breathing.
Yep.
So it's all those sort of things, and they all dovetail. And sometimes, you know, I work with people, you know, they're having their riding lesson and they're stuck for some reason. May have nothing to do with riding, but they're bringing their baggage, if you like, in from their outside world. And because I'm blessed with this little tool bag of all these various things that I can draw on, it gives me the opportunity to help them through whatever they need to go through, which ultimately helps them with their riding, which may seem like very bizarre, and people would go, what's that got to do with riding? It's like nothing. Just focusing on the breathing or just connecting with the horse in a different way, listening to how the horse moves in terms of listening to footfalls, which on all weather arena sand is quite difficult. But once you start doing that, you connect with the horse on a totally different level.
Yeah, you're kind of increasing your awareness level, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So my what I'm offering people now is something I call ethical horsemanship. And it's sort of grown and evolved over the last 12 months, I suppose.
Tell us a little about how you got that started. So you were in Hawaii, and then from Hawaii, did you come back to the UK?
Oh, yeah. Hawaii just means that it's a workshop.
And gotcha.
You go to the workshop. I used to go to it twice a year. And it's one of those things, it's a bit like horses, really. You go and you do the same things again, but because you've grown and evolved, you hear it differently, or you
on a different level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So So I came back and I decided that, you know, I wanted to work with people with helping them with their personal development. And I decided that I wanted to help people in health and wellness because that's my other passion. But somehow it just, with the pandemic, I reevaluated everything, and there was a lot of adapting going on. Yeah. And so I'd been rebranding my business anyway from, you know, about health and wellness and transformation and all that. And it was okay. But then the pandemic hit and I went, actually, this doesn't feel right. And so I focused more on the health and wellness. And then the horsey thing was sort of on the side, almost like it wasn't important, which it was. But I couldn't find a way to put the two together in a way that worked for me. So went along with that, did some online networking and was promoting my business. And then I went, no, it needs to be about the horses. So then I changed to empowering equestrians because I felt that that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to empower people who rode, whether it was their own horses or whether it was, you know, at the local riding school. I wanted to be able to help them get that connection. And while I was okay with that, I wasn't. There was something missing. And then just after Christmas, I was reflecting on the one word. So it's a little book which talks about what one word sums you up, what word sums up your business. So I was musing with this and going through those things, and I was thinking empowerment and all the rest of it. And then it popped into my head that it's about ethics and it's about a moral code and the way you conduct yourself with the horses. And then so I came up with ethical horsemanship because that seemed to put an umbrella over all of it, the health and wellness, the empowerment, the, you know, that special relationship. And so ethical is actually, there's a deeper meaning to the word for me. So I've, for each letter of the word, I have, it symbolizes something else. And so I've my strap line is harnessing principles to grow and develop a unique and magical relationship with your horse.
Okay, I like that.
And so it's really about different things. So like the I in ethical is about integrity. The C is about compassion. So it's all things that we're probably doing anyway, but I just felt that it was really important. So the T is about truth, and it's about being true to yourself, but it's also, you know, about being true. E is about having that empathy and that empowerment, but also the energy. It's about being alert to that energy, your own and what your horse is giving you. A classic example was yesterday. I got up early and I was just a bit mithered because something had happened in the family. And then I ended up sort of being late. And so when I arrived down the yard, I was like, yes, I'm going to ride my horse, but I just felt a bit like fizzy. Anyway, I worked him online. And he was fine. And I got on him. And again, he was fine. But he just felt a bit buzzed. He felt his, and I thought it was something to do with him. But I've reflected on it since. And I think it was me. It was my energy. Yeah. And I plugged into him. And he was like, you know, he was all a bit fired up. And so other times it's been his energy that's got me fired up, you know, and you can feel it coming from him. So it was quite interesting to recognize that actually he was fine. He was just responding to my fizzy energy. And in the end, I went, you know what, this isn't working. And so I put him out in the field with his mate. And I've ridden him today, and it's a totally different energy feel.
Yeah. It's really amazing how responsive they are to that. And it really kind of, you know, puts the, I guess, pressure, for lack of a better word, on us to kind of figure out our stuff and, you know, figure out how we're affecting our horses. And I liked what you said earlier about figuring out how to be the best person that you can be for your horse, mm-hmm. or something. You said something along those lines.
And it's because, you know, I think sometimes I've wanted to do something with my horses, and I've sort of fuddled my way through, and they've been so gracious in going, she knows nothing, you know, what she's doing, but we'll humor her, you know.
And I
always feel that it's my responsibility to be the best that I can, so that we can have a good relationship, because at the end of the day, they're horses and they have their own agenda, and they just may be happy being field ornaments forever, because that's what they're put on this earth for. And you know, but we want to do all these things with them, but actually it's our responsibility to make sure that we're able to communicate with them in their language in a way that they understand, rather than traditionally how I was brought up with riding. You know, you made the horse do that, you showed them who was boss, and you know, now that I know better, I'm just like, oh my goodness, but you don't know what you don't know, and you're only as good as the information that you get. And I like to think that now I know better, then I still make mistakes and I still get it wrong, but that's all part and parcel of the learning. And the horses are very forgiving. I mean, I was doing online work with my thoroughbred cross warm blood, and we were doing figures of eight, and I had my carrot stick, and I flicked it just to encourage him to give me a little bit more space. And I inadvertently flicked him in the face. And I was mortified. He was really shocked. But he knew that I had, and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. But he knew that I hadn't done it on purpose, because there was no, you know, aggressive energy emotion behind it. But he was a little bit more respectful of my space after that. That was quite nice. But it was, and these things happen. And
I mean, we all make mistakes, and I think we've all done things that we can look back on and we're like, probably shouldn't have done that, or there was a better way of doing that. But you know, like you said, we're just always learning and growing.
I think that's the main thing, is to be mindful of what you're doing and reassess everything. Some would say I probably do it too much, but I'm always going, how could I have done that better? You know, how do I need to show up in order? Because my horse is better when I'm really focused. But if I'm a bit flimsy, then he gets distracted by other things. And so it's a very fine balance between being focused but not being linear, and still keeping that, you know, that flexibility and that adaptability going. And the other thing is that recently I took part in a 7-day thinking rider challenge, which was
that the Ritter Dressage one?
Fabulous. Because
I actually went through that too, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
So that, I mean, I'm still working on that, and it was so nice.
I just said I think we all are still working on it.
Yeah. And it's just so nice to have somebody saying, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. You can do it in walk. If that's where you're at with your horse, then that's what you do, you know, rather than trying to run before you can walk.
Right.
And I think as well is that the walk is grossly underrated.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, most people want to be doing trotting and cantering and sort of, you know, and yet Philippe Carle talks about the walk being the queen of gates. You know, and are you familiar with Walter Zettel?
Yeah.
I think in his book, he says that he worked with the horse for a whole year in walk.
Yeah, I remember that story. It's pretty amazing, you know, when you get that foundation correct in the walk, and then when you do move on to the faster gates and more advanced work, everything just comes along so much easier.
Yeah.
And you're not, you know, struggling with things later on because you've already built that foundation.
And I think as well, when you're in walk, you have a better opportunity to feel when things are both going right and when they're not quite right. Because you haven't got all the other things going on with, you know, balance, because your horse is moving at a faster pace. So it actually gives you time to really focus and go, well, can I feel that leg coming through? Or, you know, is he braced against my hand? And if he is, why is he? I mean, I was working with my horse this morning, and for some strange reason, in my head, I was going, well, why aren't I getting the leg yield? And then realized that I was locked in my hips. And then remembered to breathe. So,
That helps.
Just a minor detail.
Breathe,
you know, release my hips. And he went, of course I can do that now.
I was just waiting for you to do that the whole time. Yeah. I'm glad you figured it out.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about the walk giving you that chance to really slow down and really feel things and, you know, become a lot more aware of things and kind of fine tune things. And I think for the horse too, you know, they need to slow down a little bit and think about what they're doing as well with their bodies and how they're moving their bodies. So, yeah, definitely.
I think with... it's very easy to get very linear focused and say, right, well, this is what I want to do. Without really appreciating that the horse has to process what your instructions. And, you know, we go, well, I know what I want to do in my head. But it's like, you know, and certainly if you're doing something that's a little bit outside of the normal, you know, if you're doing lateral work or whatever it might be, then they might just need that little bit of extra time to process it. The same as we would if it was something new. And I'd tell my pupils that all the time, you know what you want to do, but does your horse know what you want to do? And have you given them the correct instructions? And have you given them enough time to process it before you decide that you want it now, this way, if not sooner? And so I actively encourage my pupils or my students to think about what they're doing rather than just go, oh, well, this is what I want to do. And think about why they're doing it and how they need to do it. And it very much fits into the why, the what, why, how course that the Ritters are doing. You know, I need to know what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, and then I need to know how to do it.
And you're not just doing something because you think it's what you're supposed to do, or it's what someone told you to do, or you read it in a book or something. Or, you know, my horse is at this level now, so we do this and this and this.
Or because somebody else says that you should be doing it with your horse.
Very cool. Sounds like you've got an awesome program going there. So very cool stuff.
Well, it's still in its sort of baby stages. Yeah, I've still got some more work to do, but it feels right now. Now that I've got the title of ethical horsemanship, it feels like I feel like I've come home. Okay. And so it's just a matter of, you know, how I deliver that.
Yeah, sure. So are you offering lessons then, in-person lessons? Do you do anything online? What have you got going on?
Well, I freelance at the riding school, so that's primarily private lessons. Mm-hmm. And that can be challenging in itself because I don't get to choose what horses they are, what horses they ride. So I very much have to deal with what I'm given and work with that in the best way I can find. I'm doing little things online at the moment. I'm doing the stable management for children at the moment. My plan is to do it for adults. And then I'm also offering more personal development for people who feel they're stuck, either in a business sense or with their riding, or maybe they've got confidence issues. Because I've not been a stranger to that myself. So I've had my own experience of confidence lacking. So it's just all coming together. And then I also look at the health and wellness of the horse. And so that involves a little bit of network marketing with a particular product. And so it all sort of dovetails, but it's one of those things where it's very tempting. You've been, you know, chipping away, looking for the diamonds and you go, oh, you know, I've been doing this for months and nothing's happening. And then you're so tempted to give up. And that was me probably a month ago going, well, I'm doing everything I can think of, but nothing's working. I'm not very patient at times. and yet over the last couple of weeks, little things have slotted into place and things are starting to evolve. So I'm finding my little diamonds and going, I need to keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome.
One of the letters ethical is A, and it stands for Aho Nui, which means patient perseverance. So I don't know.
Talk to us about that a little bit.
Well, it's about Aho Nui is Hawaiian, so it's what we learn in Hawaii, but just basically it epitomizes what I just said. It's about not giving up. It's just about being patient, keep you know, persevering with what it is you want to do, whatever it might be, whether it's teaching, whether it's riding, whether it's, I don't know, it could be anything that you do, painting, dancing. It's just a matter of, you know, the more you do it, the better you'll get. And that's basically what Aristotle talked about, you know, that our excellence comes out of habit, and it's what we habitually do that gives us that expertise. And I mean, I've been teaching now for over 40 years. You know, it's a habit, but I never feel that I know it all. I feel that I'm still learning. And
yeah, that's awesome. So yeah, I love that. Just keep doing what you're doing and you know, practice excellence with it, and your success will follow. And be patient with it too, because it does take time. Yeah, just like working with the horses, I think, right? You know, it takes patience, and we're not going to get results right away. So I love that.
And I think as well, I mean, we talk about the horse having the timeline. And quite often I find that I'm very patient with the horses, but I'm not so patient with myself. And so I
yes.
think sometimes, you know, we're our own worst critic and we drive ourselves hard, but actually, you know, you can still have patient perseverance and give yourself some space and some slack, if you like, without necessarily taking your foot up the accelerator, but just done in a
and not giving up, you know, you're still working towards it, but you're being patient with it at the same time.
Because I think when you get impatient, then that gets in your way and you miss things that if you'd have been a little bit more relaxed about things, then you would have seen them.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Very cool. Love that. Awesome. Well, are there any stories that you have about any successes or any struggles that you've had with your horses or, you know, in any of this that have kind of really impacted you or taught you something or there's probably a lot, but anything in particular at the top of your mind that you'd like to share?
Not particularly. There have been incidences, and I think that's why I say about trying to be the best person I can be for my horse, because there have been times where my horse wasn't. Our training and our relationship wasn't going the way I wanted it to. But it was my mistake because I was thinking that I needed to be really relaxed and Mrs. Chilled. But I'd taken it too far. And so I'd lost my focus. And so it was for me to learn to be relaxed and chilled, but also to be focused. Because when I was not focused, then he got really distracted and he tends to be very much in fear mode. So when I became more focused, but without being linear about it, then it was me stepping up and being a leader.
And you don't want to be so relaxed that you're not noticing things and you don't have a plan and, you know, you're kind of wishy-washy about things or whatever.
And I think for me, one of the things about that is that learning to be a leader for the horses transfers into life.
Oh, definitely. So,
And with that leadership and that sense of calm comes confidence. And when you become more confident, then people around you, they respect that and they look up to you in terms of, as in, you know, worshiping you or anything, but they they take your confidence to help them with anything they might be going through. You're seen as a safe place, if you like, not just for your horses but for other people as well, and so for me that means that I'm going to be given more opportunities to share what I know for the benefit of other people, and that's what I want, really. It's about developing the relationship for both the benefit of the horse and for the person. So if you imagine a vessel and you've got a horse in it and you've got a person in it, they need to grow and evolve as individuals whilst at the same time being in the same vessel and growing together.
Okay. Does that make
sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I like that way of thinking of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. so it's a very inclusive thing to be happening, but at the same time, it allows each person, even though I know one's a horse, but it allows each side of that to develop in their own way as an individual. So the mm-hmm. horse develops in the way that works best for them, and you as a person develop in the best way for you. And together you create that magical relationship that I talked about earlier.
Yeah, and you're kind of still honoring each other's individuality while
Absolutely.
Working together at the same time. Yeah, yeah. That's really cool. Mm. Yeah, I love that. Very cool. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us or talk about? Or
no, I think that's it. I mean, for me, it's an ongoing journey. And, you know, each day is different. And I, you know, you get that thing where you go, yep, I think I've got this cracked. And then the horse goes, no, actually, try this.
Right.
You know, so it's just constantly evolving. And and I would be very upset, I think, if there wasn't more to learn. And, and each time I learn something more, I go, oh, there's more to learn. And sometimes that can be quite frightening because the more you learn, the more you realize there is to learn.
And how much you don't know,
overwhelming. But it's such fun to learn and then find how things, you know, dovetail in. And some things, you know, I've ventured into horse astrology.
And, oh, really?
You know, and that sort of looks at their personality and how they perform, but you know, they're just a reflection of you. So I look at my horses and I go, yep, that's me. They're in different, you know, one horse is very playful and very cheeky at times, and then the other one is a bit of a scaredy cat but is very loyal and is you know rock solid and then the other one goes, yeah, you know what? I don't know so I want to do this today. I'm going to have a lazy day. So he's a bit low energy. And, and initially I thought, well, he's nothing like me. But actually, I do have my moments. So, they reflect my parts of my personality quite well.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I've got multiple horses myself too, and I find that each one kind of reflects a different part of me in a little bit different way, but they all you know, reflect me in some way. Definitely. All right, so I've got a few more questions for you, and these ones I don't want you to put a little bit don't want you to put a lot of thought into. Just say, you know, tell me the first thing that comes to mind. Kind of fun get to know you a little bit questions. All right.
Okay.
What is one thing that you've learned recently? And it can be about horses or life or anything. One thing you've learned recently.
One thing I've learned recently. Ooh, that put me on the spot. Okay. One thing I've learned recently is that you need to live life. Stop playing small.
That's really good. I like that. Was there something in particular that led you to that realization?
Yeah, it was it's a confidence thing with riding my horse, and I was talking to somebody else, and we were sort of saying, yes, she felt the same as well, and then she mentioned somebody else who had a couple of years ago had quite a serious fall from a horse and is now classed as disabled in so much as ankles not, it doesn't function the way it used to. And apparently she told the person that I was talking to that she was terrified every time she got on a horse, but she has two horses that she show jumps and the one she's going to event. And she says, I'm so nervous, but I do it anyway. And I looked at myself and went, come on, get your big girl pants on.
Right.
If she can do it, okay, she's younger than me. But I just thought, are you going to live your life in fear all the time?
Yeah.
Is there any way to live your life? So,
so
I got on my horse today with a totally different mindset and went, okay, let's do this.
Very cool. Yeah, that's inspiring for sure. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Share a favorite horse memory. I know there's probably a lot, but just pick one.
Okay. The first one that popped in my head was I was with my horse in his stable and I was doing nothing. So I was just in the stable with him. And I was just to the side and I was just squatting down in the straw and he had his head over the stable door and was looking out. And then he backed up and came sort of diagonally across the stable. And I thought, oh, I might have to move because I think he wants a wee. Anyway, he got down and laid beside me. And I was just like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So I was just blown away. I was very emotional, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Because I've never had a horse do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Very cool. All right. What is a book that you're reading right now or have read recently? Or if you're not reading a lot, maybe a podcast that you're listening to or something like that.
I am reading a book. Well, yes, it is a book, but it's not about horses. It's called The One Word.
Okay, you mentioned that.
And it's about, let me just see if I can find the proper title. And it's basically about what sums you up. And it's really quite challenging. And it's called Your One Word.
Okay.
Great title.
Who's the author?
Yeah. And I have acquired a couple of really nice books, but I haven't got around to reading them yet. One of them is Classical Horsemanship.
Okay.
So, and I got Dr. Ritter's book as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they're on my list to do.
Yeah, I know there's always a million books I want to read and not enough time in the day. Yeah.
Oh, I know. And I went on to Amazon yesterday because I love Amazon. I'd be happy living in the library.
Right, me too, yeah.
And I was looking actually for books on herbs for horses, so I found those. And so what I do when I go onto Amazon is I choose a book and then I take it to my basket, but then I save it for later, so I know that what the book is, and then I can just go back, and then when I feel that I'm ready to buy it, then I do. And there was another book that I put on my list, which was Balanced Riding by Sylvia Locke.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
awesome, very cool. All right, this is a fun question. Is my favorite question, I think. If you could share a message with the world, what would it be?
If I could share a message.
And I'm putting you on the spot here.
I'll say a message to the world. It's just about search inside yourself for the jewels that you'll find there that help you to live a more fulfilled life, which is beneficial for you and everybody else around you.
I love that. Yep. Because it's all there inside you, right? Mm. You just have to find it.
And I think, you know, for years, I always looked outside of myself for confirmation of who I was. And you know, since I've been doing the work on myself, then I don't need that because I know who I am. That's not I've got all the answers because I haven't, but life is much more fulfilling and I'm much more confident in myself because I'm not second guessing myself and I'm not am I good enough or what will they think of me. So I'm much more confident in approving of myself, if you like, instead of waiting for somebody else to approve of me.
Awesome. I love that. I think that's something we all struggle with too.
And I still have my moments of doubt and you know, but I'd be concerned if I didn't, because at the end of the day I am human and you know, but everything is an opportunity to learn something, you know, and decide who's going to be the creator in your universe. Is it going to be you or are you going to leave it to somebody else? And so for me, it's about being the creator of my universe. And even if I don't get it right, it doesn't matter, because if I'm the creator, I can uncreate it. Whereas if you're not the creator and you're the victim, then it means you have to wait for somebody else to fix it. And if they don't want to fix it, then you're stuck.
Yeah, that's really powerful stuff there. Very cool. Awesome. All right. Well, I think that is a great note to end on. So if our listeners want to connect with you, where's the best place to find you?
I'm on Facebook.
Website or social media?
I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. I have my own website, which is growing and evolving. I go in and I change it and as things develop. So,
what's your website then?
So the website is www.ethicalhorsemanship.uk.
Perfect. And I will put a link for that in the notes for the podcast as well. And Facebook, your Ethical Horsemanship?
No, just, there is I do have an Ethical Horsemanship page, but I'm, you know, you can find me on Stella James, because they all link, and the same on LinkedIn. I'm just Stella James.
Okay. Very cool. Awesome. Well, this has been a wonderful conversation and it's been a pleasure chatting with you. So thank you so much for joining us here today.
If you'd like to learn more about Stella and connect with her, make sure to check out her website, www.ethicalhorsemanship.uk. Thank you for joining me today. I'd love it if you'd share your thoughts on this podcast in the comments. I always enjoy hearing from our listeners. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving a review and sharing with your friends. If you want to learn more about developing a better partnership with your horse, you can check out our website, tuskydressage.com, or search for Tusky Dressage on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. And you can also sign up for our virtual classroom on Patreon at patreon.com/tuskydressage. And lastly, if you're looking to go even deeper into the lessons our horses have for us, you can check out my book, God's Heart Through a Horse's Eyes, available on Amazon and Amazon Kindle. Thanks again for joining me on Lessons from a Horse, and I'll see you next time.